With the familiar tones of AC/DC playing in your ears, we begin another episode of Wrestling Observer Live. My name is Josh Nason. It's Sunday, May 25th here in the good old US of A, Memorial Day weekend. We come to you coast to coast from the North Pole, the South Pole, frozen tundra to the beaches every single day on WrestlingObserver.com. Of course, also the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, all of our over-the-air affiliates, AM and FM, iHeart, various apps, everywhere you get a signal in this fine world, you can get this show. We thank you for tuning in. Of course, a special shout out to those listening on the American Forces Network. We thank you for your service every single day. And of course, on this weekend, remember those fine men and women that have given the ultimate sacrifice in giving their lives while in conflict and while serving the U.S. military. And shout out to the memory of my uncle buddy, Len Fest Nason. You don't hear that name often. L-E-N-F-E-S-T, passing away in World War II. He was a bomber pilot, part of a crew, and during World War II got shot down somewhere over the Mediterranean Sea, if I pronounce that correctly. And yeah, he gave his life so I can do shows like this and all of us can live our lives here. Someday, hopefully, his body will be found again somewhere over the Mediterranean Sea, but that's why we honor them on this Memorial Day. So thinking of everybody during this weekend. I'm going to be with you for the next hour, filling in for Andrew Zarian. Talking about all the biggest news from, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Of course, this show is going to be all about really a few things. AEW Double or Nothing, which takes place tonight from Glendale, Arizona, out in the desert. And a fine card for that. We're going to run down the entire show as we record this just hours before the big show tonight. Of course, we have WWE Saturday Night's Main Event, which happened just last night. A lot of news coming out from that show, including the return of Cody Rhodes. And also, we have in WWE Evolution, the second Evolution ever, returning after a long time. Talk about the dates, all that. And of course, we should talk really quick about why does WWE care so much about AEW to the point that they're booking against them for these long weekends. We'll talk about that in relation to Evolution and a future Saturday Night's Main Event. All that more coming up. So stick around for the next hour on the Wrestling Observer Live Sunday edition, Double or Nothing Preview Edition. We're coming right back after this. Wrestling Observer Live, back with you, Sunday, May 25th. My name is Josh Nason. I am a contributing editor for WrestlingObserver.com. You figure doing this for them for so long and have that right off the tongue, a little bit tongue-tied, perfect for the radio, right? So we are Memorial Day weekend and a big wrestling weekend. Every single weekend seems so busy and there's so much stuff going on. And this weekend, of course, is no different. And we go to Double or Nothing, which happens again, as I mentioned, tonight. Yes, T-O-N-I-G-H-T, tonight from Glendale, Arizona. I do not have a ticket count, but we can certainly get to that in a few minutes. But overall, you know, this is a interesting show and something I talked about on my podcast before, Josh Nason's Punch Out on WrestlingObserver.com, is does this show kind of feel like not a lame duck show? But let's face it, all eyes are ahead to All In Texas coming up in July. And there is no June pay-per-view, so we have a lot of time to build that show. But what does this show kind of feel like? It feels like, to me, doesn't feel as important as previous Double or Nothings, and that's kind of interesting. You know, this is the first time it's been outside Vegas since the pandemic era in 2021. And who knows, given the recent developments with WWE, we'll talk about a little bit when AEW could actually return. But the show overall, it's certainly good. And after or before every AEW pay-per-view, we always need to remind ourselves the show, no matter what it feels like on paper, the feeling you get, they always turn out great. I can only think of like one pay-per-view for AEW that has been the feeling afterward. And I'm not just talking about the main event, just the overall card. Well, obviously, the main events in recent time, there's been a few which people have kind of been like, yeah. But this one, I think it's going to be pretty great. So, again, coming up tonight on pay-per-view, your various providers, not Triller here in the United States, but I'll see all over the place. I think I'm going to be trying Amazon Prime tonight. It was either that or pay-per-view.com. I think I'm going to try Amazon Prime a run for pay-per-view. And maybe someday in the future, we'll get this on Max and be able to buy things there. Anyway. Coming up, this is what wrestling is about. Subjective, of course, but to me, it's what wrestling is all about. When you go into a big match and you have no idea who is going to win, and you could have arguments from either side as you listen to this, I'll have a column up on WrestlingObserver.com as far as who I think should win this match. Of course, I'm talking about the main event of the evening, The Owen Hart Foundation Men's Tournament Final. Will Ospreay taking on Hangman Adam Page, the former AEW World Champion, versus the guy who wants to hold the title someday. It has been a long time since the Hanger has won the AEW, or held the AEW World title, rather. And that's one of the points of my column earlier today. It's been over 1,000 days. It's crazy. It's been over 1,000 days. And I looked at, in this column, I looked at his first title reign, and it was really, it was lackluster, right? And it again, so much wrestling happens, and so many things have happened. I do not blame you if you forgot, because I forgot a lot about this first title reign. So, I mean, he first defeated Kenny Omega for the title at November 2021's Full Gear. He defended the title twice against Bryan Danielson, both great matches. One was, of course, that hour-long batch, and then they went nearly 30 minutes the next time. And then he, get this, so he then defended against Lance Archer in a Texas Death Match for some reason. He feuded with Adam Cole, something I completely just erased from my memory. No offense to either guy, just I don't remember anything about this feud. Defending the title against him at Revolution in March 2022. He then defended against Dante Martin. He faced Adam Cole again in a Texas Death Match on a Rampage of all places, and then lost the title to CM Punk at May 2022's Double or Nothing. And of course, remember all the stories around that. So really just a nondescript title run. And of course, he was the guy to first challenge for the title. Well, he and Chris Jericho way back in the day. And of course, Chris Jericho, the inaugural champion. But you have, so but this is a much different Hangman Page going into Sunday night in Glendale, Arizona. So he goes up against a guy in Ospreay who is phenomenal, someone that is just so spectacular, put on some of the best in-ring performances we have seen in some time, and is just one of the guys is really just the he has another level, right? And he said that before. Someone's performed at the top level, always guaranteed a great match. The first bad Will Ospreay match, I think it'll be his first in quite some time. This is fascinating because you go either way in this. Either way, this has to end with one of these guys defeating John Moxley at All In Texas for the title. It has to. It has to. It's time for that to end for so many different reasons. I think Hangman Page should win tonight. And I think he should be the one to move on to All In, because you can talk yourself into both ways. I think he should win because it feels like it's the right time. He's a day one guy. He's someone that has got to this point through all these different character machinations and changes. He's taken time off, dealing with family issues, having a family, all that. He had the big feud with Swerve Strickland. And I think some of the best for him is yet to come. There's still a lot of untold story with the Elite. And yes, I know there's been rumors of you could do he and Swerve Strickland against the Young Bucks at All In. That would also be a big match. But I just feel like if there's going to be a guy that's going to have a run with the belt, it's going to be Hangman. And I think he should have a nice long run. And it could end with a loss to MJF that somehow, maybe that leads to an Ospreay title run or vice versa. There's a lot of great stories at the top. There's obviously a story there if he and Strickland have another match for a title. They finally, for the first time in a long time, it really feels like the world title could mean something. And I think this Death Riders run has been full of ups and downs, frustrations, and I think, including myself, I don't think it's a good idea of your title belt hidden away since essentially 8 months in a briefcase, or however long it's been since last October. I think the title run has been, that's a different story for a different day. But tonight, in my opinion, I think that Hangman Page should defeat Will Ospreay and then move on to face and then defeat John Moxley at All In. That's what I hope. But again, I can see, I won't come out of this, if Will Ospreay wins, I won't come out of this thinking, oh, missed opportunity. Because I think one way or another, this ends in July. It's just a question of how you get there. I think there's a backstory with Moxley and Hangman that goes back to the third ever AEW Dynamite. These guys have fought for the title before in very violent and bloody matches. I believe one of them was a Texas Death Match. Yes, it was. So there's a lot of story you can tell here, the Elite versus the Blackpool Combat Club back in the day. And I think if you look back at rivalries, nothing's ever really going to beat Page versus Strickland when it comes to some of the top AEW rivalries. But I think you have a case you could make a Page-Moxley feud feel like his second best feud of all time, and that's pretty good. So that's why I think that Hangman Page should come away from Double or Nothing tonight with the title opportunity, and then lead to a fun run. And again, we have a long time, about a month and a half going into July. I think it's one of the reasons we're doing these 4-hour shows that are coming up, and that'll be interesting to see how that all works out. Of course, other matches, the women's Owen Hart tournament final. We have Mercedes Moné taking on Jamie Hayter. Jamie Hayter has never seemed as hot in the ring and as a character as when, obviously, before she got injured, when there was just something that she was on that precipice of getting to that next level. And then, unfortunately, she hurt her shoulder and was just out for a year and a half, completely derailed momentum. Not the only person that's happened to in AEW. And it's taken her a long time to get back the spot against someone in Moné and Mercedes Moné, who really has overcome the early disappointment or the narrative of disappointment. I include myself in that in AEW, that, you know, that early point of her run, it just felt like, is this, you know, what do we got here? And she just, over the last, you know, year, she kind of got her feet under, new place, leaned in more of the heel character, has really just come into her own as taking on everybody and anybody. And there's a lot of places. Do I expect her to go back to WWE someday? Yes, she said as much. If she was to go back in her next contract, I think she's going to end this run and kind of empty the tank. And I think that's what she's doing now. And we're going to talk more about this match after the break and the rest of the card, which includes the Anarchy in the Arena, Toni Storm defending the AEW Women's World Title, all types of other stuff. Plus, a lot of WWE talk coming up. Come right back, Wrestling Observer Live. Josh Nason back with you, Wrestling Observer Live, for a Sunday, May 25th. Happy Memorial Day to all of you out there. Let's continue with our look at AEW Double or Nothing. You know, it's a fun, busy weekend when I don't have any notes. I just have like a few things I know I'm going to talk about. I'm just looking at the card and I'm just going with it. And you know, it's kind of when wrestling has really infected your brain, is that you've thought about the stuff in your head. You listen to podcasts. You've talked about this stuff and it just flows. So it's a good day to flow. We got a lot to talk about. Double or Nothing. Saturday, it's main event, WrestleMania, all that type of stuff. So the rest of the card, again, we're talking about Moné versus Hayter. I think there's no doubt it's going to be Moné defeating Hayter and moving on to face Toni Storm. All in should be the biggest matches that you can make. And everyone agrees it's Moné versus Toni Storm. Finally, she's turned her gaze towards the AEW Women's World Title. I think it's strange when secondary champions don't ever really kind of mention that or allude to the fact that they want to get to the highest level in the game in their respective company. And finally, we're going to get it looks like Moné and Toni Storm going up. I don't see an argument around it. I think this should be fun. And Moné, again, as I talked about before the break, really has elevated her game and is just one of the top stars in the company. Now, is she elevating it to a new level? She's drawing in new people. I don't know about that, but I think when she's going out there, I think she's doing all she can do to retain fans, increase fans, and make people want to see her. And yeah, she's great, and happy to have her around in AEW for as long as we have her there. Again, she's going to go back to WWE at some point. Someday could be the next contract. But hey, can't think about that. You got to think about the here and now, and this should be a fun match. And interesting to see where Jamie Hayter comes out of this. Again, as I mentioned, had a rough, slow start coming back from that year and a half out. Completely just didn't have that momentum and been really slowly getting there. And we'll see if this really kind of kicks off her ascension back to the upper echelon of the division, important matches, and people seeing her as a real big star, as it seemed like she was nearly 2 years ago. So best of luck for Moné. I think no doubt is going to take this one. Of course, that leads us to Anarchy in the Arena. A lot of people involved in this one. Is a 10-person or 11-person? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's a 12-person. How about that addition? That's quick. 12 people in this match, and of course, we know it's actually going to be more than that because we know that Gabe Kidd, of course, is going to get involved. So we have John Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, Wheeler Yuta, the Young Bucks, and Marina Shafir against Swerve Strickland, Kenny Omega, the Ops made up of Samoa Joe, Hobbs, Katsuyori Shibata, Willow Nightingale, and we know that Gabe Kidd has been involved in this. He's not in the match, but we just know this all in pun fully intended match in terms of just everywhere in the building going to be crazy. Wow, these matches are always a spectacle. So we know it's going to be intense, and we know that Gabe Kidd's going to be there, but who's going to offset him? And a lot of people thought, oh, Eddie Kingston. Makes perfect sense. Eddie Kingston doing an interview the other day basically saying he's not there yet, but we know wrestlers lie. Could be the truth. Could be false, just a swerve. It also could be Hook returns. We haven't seen Hook in a long time. He's done whatever ailment, hopefully, that he had. I believe he was filming a movie, or maybe he'd done that already. But he's been gone for a while. Obviously, he's part of the ops, so that would be another good addition here. So I think I'm leaning towards Hook. I'll tend to believe Eddie Kingston, but either Eddie Kingston or Hook is going to be involved in this as well. And again, should be a fun spectacle match going all over the place. As far as who wins, what big match are they going to make between now and All In for one of those four-hour shows? You know they're going to do something, right? So you could have, I don't think Moxley's going to defend the title before that, but he could. Because then you say you do a John Moxley Kenny Omega title match on one of those big 4 hour shows, either in Portland, Oregon, or the Fighter Fest one, wherever that is. I think somewhere on the West Coast. So say you do a title match there, they have a rivalry, of course, and you say, oh, the winner goes on to face either, you know, Paige or Ospreay. That's a lot of excitement because you can go either way and what have you. But I think everyone figures it's going to be Omega versus Okada coming up at All In. But so you could do a pretty fun story there. Samoa Joe's got his title shot, Hobbs, and so on. So I think if you're going to do a title shot, Omega coming out as defeating Moxley. I mean, as Strickland's had his shot. That would make the most sense if you plan on doing a world title match between now and All In, is Omega getting the winning pin, submission, whatever it's going to be. And then moving on to maybe a title match against Moxley in the interim. Okada screws him over, and then that leads to their match at All In. But it should be fun. Hard to predict what's going to happen, but I think either Hook or Eddie Kingston is going to be back. I think Omega is the one that gets the winning fall, and that leads to a big match coming up at one of the big four-hour shows. Then we have, of course, Women's World Champion Toni Storm defending against Mina Shirakawa. Storm obviously wins this. These two have had a friendship, rivalry, whatever you want to call it. This is a filler match, a filler title match. Nothing. No one thinks that Shirakawa is going to win. And kind of just reintroducing her fully to the AEW fan base. And Toni Storm comes up the win. Could possibly Tekla make her debut to stare down Storm. Maybe build some in between now and All In. Very possible. Of course, they may not want to focus on that. But that, again, there's a month and a half, and you have 2 4-hour shows. You're going to do something there, something pay-per-view level, I would think. And I think that's probably what's going to happen here. So you're going to lead to the next thing. And it could also be, could do a Tekla Shirakawa feud, anything like that. But all eyes are going to be on Toni Storm versus Mercedes Moné at All In. So that's going to be in service of that. Kazuchika Okada against Mike Bailey. Again, we basically all but know is going to be Okada versus Omega at All In. So obviously Okada is going to win this. If it is what I hope is going to be a title unification bout, I think AEW has too many men's singles titles. This would be, Continental versus International, I'm said Intercontinental title match. That'd be funny if AEW just announces it, combines McCall's at the Intercontinental title. It'd be great. Anyway, Okada versus Omega is going to happen there. So obviously Okada is going to win here. Should be fun. Bailey's game. Okada, I've been kind of up and down to him on his AEW run, and bits and pieces, the most memorable stuff seems to be him uttering certain words, I don't know if I can say over the air, and some of his mannerisms and so on and so forth. He's had some big matches, but I guess it depends on what you expect with him coming into his AEW run. But this should be an entertaining match. Somebody goes, 12, 13 minutes, something like that, maybe 15. And Okada ends up with his hand raised at the end of the night. We're the AEW Tag Team Champions. So I'm going through this card. It's a lot of chalk, as they say, where it's like it makes sense who is going to win for a lot of reasons. So Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin, the Hurt Business, defending against the Sons of Texas, the Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions. And Dustin Rhodes and Sammy Guevara. There's no one that thinks that Rhodes and Guevara are going to win the titles. And that Lashley and Benjamin will retain. And Mike Della Camera really did a good job summing up kind of where the AEW tag team division is right now. And I'll pull that up here. But, MVP, Shelton Benjamin, Bobby Lashley, they've just been so over, you know, and people love that. It makes the attempted heel turn when MJF joined the group. He's obviously going to get involved in this match coming up on Sunday. But him being involved in their turn that just didn't, it just felt forced. See, people love the Hurt Business. They just love them. So trying to kind of bristle against that and push against this, not my favorite thing. But let's get to what Mike Della Camera did a preview for us on WrestlingObserver.com. Said, AEW's tag team vision is lacking serious juice. It used to be a reliable foundation. For AEW, current state is quite sad, and so on and so forth. These are teams, basically, you know, they defend the title against the Guns, the Outrunners, the Learning Tree, the Gates of Agony, and Top Flight. Teams that provide solid depth for a division, not ones ready to compete for the title. And I'm not sure there's an easy solution either. You know, quick fix would be FTR and so on and so forth. But it's going to take some time to build the tag ranks up. And I agree. It's something that Tony Khan mentioned on the media call this week when asked about, you know, potentially the women's tag team titles. But it's funny because when AEW first started, it was tag team wrestling was going to be one of the drawing cards and ways that they stood out. And early on it did, and it just slightly eroded from there. And again, the champions that Hurt Business beat, sorry, the Hurt Syndicate. I said the Hurt Business. Boy, I hope I'll get the trademark request or lawyers calling me or something like that. Mark Stoller, Hurt Syndicate, my bad. But yeah, this they need some help. And again, the champions they beat, Private Party, have disappeared since they lost the titles. Like the Guns, a fine young team, completely have disappeared. The way they lost to the Hurt Syndicate makes me think that could have, the way they lost makes me think that was their last match in AEW, and that was intentional, that they don't plan on re-signing, and perhaps their deal is up and they've gone to Guantanamo Bay, as has been aptly mentioned on TV, or not on TV, but on social media. Might as well be TV. Let's go down the rest of the card here. Of course, we've run through, what do we got here? Okay, so we have a stretcher match. Ricochet versus Mark Briscoe, random. The first ever stretcher match in AEW history. Why these two are having a stretcher match? This just feels completely forced in the show. I assume Ricochet is going to win this one here. Mark Briscoe, I still think he has a really good, fun story to tell in AEW. And I think you're just going to have to wait some time to get there. We have the Paragon, Cole O'Reilly and Roderick Strong versus Don Callis family, Fletcher Takeshita. And Josh Alexander, I think Don Callis' family wins. Fletcher pins Cole, and that leads to a TNT title match opportunity coming up at some point in one of these big shows. And FTR taking on the returning Nigel McGuinness and Danny Garcia. I figure FTR wins, and I do believe this is Nigel McGuinness' final match. He said, what was the phrase he used? This ends. And I think by this, he means his career. I think his in-ring career is going to end tonight in Glendale, Arizona. It'll be a fun moment or an emotional moment, but I think it's over tonight. And the pre-show, as of right now, and nothing else has been announced, Megan Bain and Penelope Ford taking on Anna Jay and Harley Cameron. Coin flip. Anyone could win this. I guess I'll go with Bain and Ford. Actually, no. Jay and Harley Cameron. Cameron gets the win, and so on and so forth. So let's take a quick break. After this, we'll get to all the happenings at WWE, including everything from Saturday Night's Main Event, Evolution coming, Wrestling Observer Live coming right back after this. Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason back for Sunday, May 25th. Filling in for Andrew Zarian. Hope he'll be back. I believe I'm filling in today and next week as well. Andrew, hopefully he'll be back after that. Let's talk about WWE. Saturday Night's Main Event happened last night. All types of news happening in the last few days with WWE. We'll get to the big highlights out of Saturday Night's Main Event, of course. The big one, actually, there's a few big ones. There's a few headlines out of last night. For once, Bronson Reed making his WWE return after a long absence due to injury. Obviously, jumping off that cage match of War Games back in November, and he has made his return, and he is aligned. You know, this is someone that was going after Seth Rollins, feuding with Seth Rollins, but now he is on Team Heyman along with Seth Rollins and Braun Breaker, this new dangerous alliance. People love alliances and factions and the idea of Paul Heyman putting together a supergroup. And he has certainly done that. As I'm looking at the picture right now, these four men, men of men, standing tall over CM Punk and Sami Zayn. Of course, Bronson Reed making his return, speared CM Punk through a barricade. Sami Zayn distracted by the referee. Breaker speared Zayn, picking up the victory for himself and Seth Rollins. So yeah, this is interesting. So he was out for a broken talus bone, and this is in January, so clearly that's healed. Boy, that feels like it happened just like yesterday, and it's, again, almost June, so it makes sense that he comes back. Time really flies in pro wrestling. So we have another member of that alliance there. We have our first match announced for AAA WWE Worlds Collide, which is El Hijo del Vikingo, Hijo del Vikingo. I could just say Vikingo. That's what most people say. Taking on Chad Gable. Yes, just Chad Gable. No mask. Announced for AAA Worlds Collide. So that should be great. Vikingo getting his first opportunity to really shine, or ever shine, I guess, in a WWE ring. So that should be something to see. And how this presentation is. It's something that a year ago I never really would have guessed. Although it's possible. You know, anything is possible in pro wrestling these days. But Vikingo in a WWE ring. And taking on Chad Gable, here we go. Vikingo, of course, you know, he's been able to show out in this the top stages before, and the match that you think of the most, or at least I do, is the Kenny Omega match on AEW Dynamite, when he really showed up and showed out in that, of course, against one of the best to ever do it in Kenny Omega. So he'll has his chance to gain his entry into WWE and introduce himself to a brand new fan base coming up in June. So obviously we'll get more announcements on that card. Very fascinating to see how that happens and comes together. Cody Rhodes, really the big news of the night. Cody Rhodes making his return at Saturday Night's Main Event. And this was after John Cena, in his effort to ruin wrestling, decided to try to ruin the main event, attacking Jey Uso in his title match with Logan Paul. And afterward, issued a Money in the Bank Tag Team Challenge, which was made official just actually this morning, actually. So it will be John Cena and Logan Paul versus Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso set for Money in the Bank. So that feud will continue. The John Cena quote-unquote heel run continues, something I just, not into it, man. Not into it. A lot of people don't either. Yeah, I big respect for John Cena and everything he's done and given, but I mean, this run, it just feels like he's playing a role and not doing it really the right way. Is nothing you haven't heard before, but you just kind of feel like you have to say it. And this is just not working. But the run continues. We're about halfway through his final year in the business, if you believe that. And we will see a big tag team match, him teeing up with Logan Paul, of all people. So yeah, Saturday night's main event, he had some news to come out of it, including the return, finally confirmed, WWE Evolution. This is part of a big weekend. If you live in Atlanta, get those credit cards ready. Clear that debt, because you got a lot of shows to buy. Because coming up on July 12th weekend from the State Farm Arena in Atlanta, Georgia, we have Saturday, July 12th, Saturday night's main event, which we assumed and kind of knew it was coming, but now it's officially confirmed at the State Farm Arena. Premium live event, as always, on Peacock and Netflix. That's not a premium live event, but you know what I mean. Second ever Evolution. That's going to be taking place. Sorry, Saturday night's main event on NBC and Peacock. Evolution, the second ever all-women show. That'll be airing on Peacock and Netflix as a PLE, Sunday, July 13th at 7 Eastern. And there's also, if you watch this ad and watch it very closely, the annual NXT Great American Bash also announced for the weekend. No date or time attached. But you and I both know when this is going to take place. It's going to take place in the afternoon. And why would it take place in the afternoon? Because AEW is running all in Texas during the afternoon, as we talked about earlier, on Saturday, July 12th. Presale Tuesday, combo tickets available. So three shows coming up. I do not know if they're going to do, they did not announce a Raw for that day, but I'm going to guess Raw is going to move somewhere else, or they could do it that night as well. So another one of these TKO-esque takeover weekends. But I, you know, we knew this was coming, the counter-programming and kind of flooding the zone and doing all this stuff. But why, look, I've said in my podcast for a while, I don't believe there's a wrestling war. I think there's a wrestling conflict. I do believe there's a talent war in terms of trying to one up the other. WWE is just financially so far ahead of AEW. It's not funny. It's not a slight. It's just a reality. why do they care so much about AEW? It's the, yeah, I know it's the Vince mentality, destroy all competition, all those things. It just, they're wasting their time. Like they've already like won, you know, I don't know. I prefer AEW to WWE in terms of the in-ring. The WWE does spectacle better than anyone else and so on. And they have the nostalgia. I grew up watching WWE. There's always part of that in my pro wrestling DNA. But why are you just, they constantly kind of just trying to counter program or do these things where you're just trying to, just to screw them. It also, it hurts wrestling fans, you know, making them choose. And most are going to, if they're going to watch them, they're going to watch both anyway. But I don't understand this thing of just this petty, we have to counter program just for the sake of doing it. Like you're already ahead. Be comfortable with who you are. And perhaps, you know, maybe I'm not thinking of the right mentality. Oh, it's WWE. They have to crush any potential competition. That's why they've allied with TNA as if they're ever going to be any competition. But, you know, and they're just looking to make a statement. I don't know. I think it hurts wrestling fans more than anything else. There's enough, more than enough wrestling on TV. And if you're just saying that we should be the only one that you watch, that just kind of further deepens that that divide. And yeah, I don't know. It just, things like this, I just know why they're, by spending your time counter-programming and by spending your time being that concerned, you do essentially, there's this kind of the subconscious thing of like, well, is there something to be worried about? And to this point, there isn't. You need other organizations to be great in order to, I mean, look, without AEW, you don't have these, Cody probably does not rehab to the point that he came back as a bigger star. Okay, he was doing, you know, stuff in Ring of Honor and things like that, but come on. I mean, he came from AEW and people saw it as a big deal. Penta, Jade Cargill. You think all of a sudden Jade Cargill just out of nowhere is going to get that huge pop if she wasn't AEW? Like, it's good, and that works vice versa. It's good to have other competitions because when you have the money, you can get that, you can get those big pops, you can sign the big checks, and everyone wins. But, you know, Dave Meltzer's point, you know, WWE does not want AEW around due to, you know, increased talent costs and so on and so forth. Like, I get it. I get it. I just think it's stupid. Absolutely stupid. I'm going to focus so much on somebody that you're so far ahead of financially. Don't worry about it. But WWE has had other things to deal with this week, moving WrestleMania from New Orleans to what we think is going to be Las Vegas, Nevada. We'll see if that happens. I was thinking about this today, and I'm sure a lot of people, especially in New Orleans, I know promoters and so on, have been thinking about this. The other ones that are going to do shows there, and WWE obviously doesn't have to care about them one iota because I'm sure they see the indie promoters that are booking that weekend that they do WrestleMania as just flies on the, birds on the elephant's back, right? Just coming along for the ride, and we're going to do what we do. And if it makes you lose money or change, lose sleep, lose money, any of this type of thing, that's up to you. But that's really awful. I'd use a different word if I wasn't on radio. It's pretty awful to do this city when you've had this announced and in end of May, a big event, and these things just don't come together with a snap of the fingers. The event coming up for April, you're just like, no, we're going to move it. And we still don't know the reasons yet, but essentially the thought process from those that have been reporting this, Dave and others, is that TKO executives like that they made all that money last year, and there's a lot of them that live in Vegas and so on, so they're like, why don't we just do it here again? You've already had the commitment to another city and another fan base and another, like, just, it's not just that you're coming in for Raw or SmackDown. It's like a big deal. And just on, again, almost summertime, and you're like, nope, we're good. So for future cities that are booking these things, you have to now work in some measures, not just, you know, site fees and things like that. But if I'm any other municipality, I'm getting some sort of legal recourse. Like, you can't pull out unless there's some sort of, you know, dramatic, you know, weather event, or, you know, like, you can't pull out. And this, now all these cities, like, you have to wonder, you have to get some protection. Who knows? Did they have legal protection in there? And WWE said, well, we're going to make this right, and this is how we're going to do it. But that's awful. You know, it's awful. It'd be awful if, you know, AEW pulled out, but anyone just pulls out and says, we're going to take more money from this other place. That's the whole point of a contract, is you're there. And these people that had excited, you know, they get a money in the bank for next year. That's like more than well over a year away. Like, what are we doing here? So that's my thing is, and this, that really, you know, as I was kind of thinking about this during the week, you hadn't really noticed the corporate decisions. I guess you had, but this is really, this is a TK, this feels like a TKO corporate decision. This isn't something that Vince McMahon would do back in the day. Vince McMahon has done a lot of things back in the day, but let's focus on the wrestling thing for now. He would not have done this in the day. I think at the end of the day, he had some sort of honor in honoring these agreements within to this scale. Granted, he had a lot of bad things he did, and especially with talent and contracts and his view on contracts and all that. So you might be rolling your eyes, but just hear me out when it comes to when you book something with a city that's paying you to come in for one of your biggest events of the year, you don't leave. In this era, you just don't do that. But WWE is doing that. So what does that mean for the industry? I'm very fascinated to see how that plays out and, yeah, how that how everything goes with this in the future. But, yeah, big, big news week for WWE, and we'll see what happens then. Of course, we have, yeah, we have Money in the Bank that's starting to come together, and they're, you know, off and rolling on the rest of their schedule. First half of the year is done. Another hugely successful one. Cody Rhodes is back, and we're going to build toward probably he and John Cena rematch at SummerSlam. We're going to see how long the Cena character goes. Is it going to go all the way to the end? I doubt it, but we'll see. But another interesting year for WWE and, of course, NXT ahead. NXT Battleground, I should mention that, is tonight as well. And it's kind of been lost, again, going head-to-head, as I was mentioning, head-to-head with tonight's Double or Nothing show. But NXT Battleground has Joe Hendry defending the TNA World title against Trick Williams on an NXT show. And we also have an NXT title match. And we have a couple other things we'll get to after the break as we get out of here on a Sunday. Come right back. We'll talk more about NXT, TNA, and maybe a little, a few other things in the world of pro wrestling. Wrestling Observer Live coming right back right after this. All right. Final segment, Wrestling Observer Live. Josh Chase returning with you, filling in for Andrew Zeri. And I'll also be back next Sunday. So I'll see you then, if not sooner. Coming up on tonight's show, do a quick rundown of NXT Battleground taking place from the Yuengling Center in Tampa, Florida, available on Peacock and Netflix as well. The main event, I think it is. I'm not sure. NXT Women's Champion Stephanie Vaquer taking on Jordynne Grace. Jordynne Grace, I believe it's her fourth opportunity at the title ever. And again, Stephanie Vaquer, someone that could be going to the main roster. So if that is a definite, then Grace wins here. If it's not, then I think Vaquer wins here, obviously. But a big opportunity. Of course, you could do this during, you could do this essentially at any time. So it just depends on what Vaquer's situation is. We also have, for the first time ever, the TNA World title defended on a WWE show. Essentially, it's a WWE developmental. TNA World Champion Joe Hendry defending as Trick Williams. We'll see what happens there. We also have Obafemi defending his NXT title. Obafemi, who I think the world of, and I think big things coming for him on the main roster someday, defending his title against Miles Bourne, who earned the opportunity by winning a Battle Royal. The Women's NXT North American Champion, Sol Ruka, she'll defend her title for the very first time against former champion Kalani Jordan. We have Tony D'Angelo taking on Channing Stacks Lorenzo in a match as the family implodes, and obviously a trios match to round out the main card. Josh Briggs, Hank Walker, Tank Ledger against the Culling. Sean Spears, Brooke Jensen, and Nico Vance. A whole lot of wrestling to watch tonight between AEW, NXT. If you haven't watched Saturday night's main event, I mean, SmackDown happened Friday. There's no shortage. And of course, we have Raw coming up Monday. And then we're right back in it. There's no slowdown. Get all your information here on WrestlingObserver.com, WrestlingObserver.live, WrestlingObserver.live, Wrestling Observer Live every single day. And I'll be back next Sunday. Thank you so much for listening, spending your time with me. Enjoy all the wrestling, and we'll talk to you next week. My name is Josh Nason. This has been Wrestling Observer Live.